from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, could enforcement of the immigration law be the key to galvanizing support on Capitol Hill to actually change the law and reform our broken immigration system? We'll talk about it with Attorney General Jeff Sessions a little later here on Washington Watch. And speaking of the Department of Justice, the 586-page report from Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz, which was eclipsed by the raging debate over immigration law and the separation of children from parents. Despite that, the report from the Inspector General into the FBI's investigation into the Clinton email scandal is still an issue. In fact, for the second day today, Horowitz was on Capitol Hill taking questions from lawmakers. And we'll talk with one of them. Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona was in the hearing, and we'll talk to him in just a moment. Also, the price tag for the Southern Poverty Law Center settling one of their defamation lawsuits. And the organization had to shell out $3.4 million. We'll talk about that with retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He'll have all the details a little later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. By the way, folks, we've got we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year, June the 30th. And we've got some generous donors that have put forward a matching challenge that anything you give between now and the end of the year will be matched. And so the way this program comes to you all across America is because of folks like you. We don't get any government money. We are supported strictly by listeners like you. So, opportunity to partner with us and have every dime you give matched, or dollar, whatever you choose to give, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right. House lawmakers grilling Inspector General Michael Horowitz about the Hillary Clinton email scandal on Capitol Hill again today. Yesterday was in the Senate. Today was in the House. And there was questions about FBI agents pledging to stop then-candidate Donald Trump from making it to the White House. Here's a clip. The chairman, Bob Goodlatte, opened today. He was asking Michael Horowitz. Here's a clip from today's hearing.
Neither the Department of Justice nor the FBI are mentioned in the Constitution. However, each institution has engaged in repeated stonewalling of Congress's constitutionally mandated oversight. The infamous text from Peter Strzok saying, "We will stop President Trump from taking office," which we received on the day of your report's release, is a prime example. This text was revealed to you late in your interview as well, as I understand. Do you believe this text shows political bias?
I think, as we found, it clearly shows a biased state of mind.
And if so, do you believe the political bias shown by this text had an effect on the initiation of the Russia investigation?
I think, as you know, Mr. Chairman, that's a matter we've got under review and are looking at right now.
More to be determined on that.
More to be determined.
Well, and what we have now is Dr. Paul Gosar. He is a member of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He is also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Arizona and was in the hearing today. Dr. Gosar, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
All right. Paul, will tell us your take on today's hearing with the Inspector General. Are we getting closer to the facts in this case?
I think we are. I think there was a number of conversations, Tony, for particularly some of the information that is boiled down to six individuals, those of Mr. Strzok, Ms. Page, Mr. McCabe, and then there's unidentified two agents and an attorney with also within the FBI that had a extreme bias here in this oversight to the Clinton emails and then to the future of Donald Trump. So we're starting to see that, and then we're starting to ask some more questions about the intrusion on the emails from foreign sources. That was along some of my questions, and then Mark Meadows followed it up. that we need to spend a little more time in that aspect because of the haphazard nature of the way that email service and server was set up.
Well, that's actually the issue. I mean, that's what got this whole thing started, was the fact that Hillary Clinton had this email server outside the government system in which classified information was being communicated through, which is a violation of the law. And according to what we're now, as we're piecing all of these, putting all these pieces together, what they called the mid-year exam, which was the investigation to Hillary Clinton, these agents who had this clear bias toward Donald Trump, that was eclipsed. That investigation was eclipsed to look into the Russian investigation. By looking at the comments, now I know we're just seeing little portions of their text messages back and forth, but it almost looks as if there was a predetermined outcome in the case with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, absolutely. And then there was a morphing right into the Russia probe with this political bias, because some of the people that preordained an outcome over on the Clinton email aspect are then transferred over to the Mueller investigation right off the bat, and still keep that same bias, Tony. So what ends up happening is you get the continuation of one escapade of wrongdoing into totally usurping the process of law and instigating the Russia probe.
You know, Paul, I think this, I mean, we're almost now 2 years going on to this Russia investigation, not quite 2 years, but getting close. And it's consumed so much of the oxygen politically in Washington, D.C. However, you know, I'm wondering if this isn't in a way, it's like stumbling on something, but really kind of pulling the curtain back on the deep state that appears to be alive and well at the FBI. I mean, there might be more to this than what we're even seeing with this very candid picture from the IG.
Oh, you're exactly right, Tony. So what we're seeing is the beginning of the tip of that big iceberg that is hidden below the sight of the average citizen and even to Congress. We've seen the obstinate with holding back from the Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, of a lot of this information, the slow walking of that information. And if you look and your listeners look at the weaponization of our government, whether it be Fast and Furious, the IRS, the unmasking, the attack on journalists like Cheryl Atkinson and James Rosen, this was an all orchestration of the weaponization of the government against the people, and to preordain an outcome in a political sphere called a presidential election. And it's scary, and it scares most of our constituents that this was the status of what the deep state was definitely trying to procure for the future.
You know, as I mentioned in the opening, this was a long-awaited report, 586 pages, people waiting for it to come out. It came out last Thursday. Also happened to be the day that the media, began to be fixated on what's happening at the border with, families there, which has been going on actually for a long time, going back to the Obama administration. The media is now not focusing on this deep dive into the IG report. They've dropped this thing like it was yesterday's news. And that's unfortunate, because I think there's a lot here to still be discovered to point to what you're talking about here. This is bigger. I think it's even bigger than the Hillary Clinton email scandal, as big as that is and as much of a threat it was to continues to be to national security. This shows a systemic problem within our federal government.
Oh, it does, Tony. This was the deep state wanting not an outcome that they anticipated nor wanted. You know, they had gotten their way under the Obama administration, and they wanted the continuation with Ms. Clinton into that regards. You know, looking at Mr. Comey's predilection that he was actually writing an exoneration before even an interview. That's not the way the foundation of this country was founded, on the equal application of the law. And that's what's so valuable about getting to the bottom of this, is that the American people have to be reassured that the government, that the justice that is provided and then is sought so equally applied, is that exact justice system that we once had, not something that predilects one candidate over another and has a political bias.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Congressman Paul Gosar, my guest, represents the 4th Congressional District of Arizona. House Oversight Committee Chairman, the chairman of your committee, Trey Gowdy, accused Comey, who was then FBI director, of watering down his initial statement on the investigation's findings and making other decisions on his own. I mean, we talked about some of the agents here, but how much of this falls squarely on the shoulders of former FBI Director James Comey?
Well, James Comey is definitely in the crosshairs. You know, he has taken upon himself the value of justice as being the judge, jury, and executioner. He has definitely changed the mantra of what the FBI, its intentions, and its reputation once was. But he's not alone. This you see, we brought up Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Here's two more with Mr. McCabe, who's also had a criminal referral already in regards to his perjury testimony or perjury and testimony that he has given. So, I mean, Mr. Comey is very wrong in the way he tried to precipitate his findings and try to water them down. And that's not what the American people want. People in America want that equal application of the justice. They want the facts to fall, but they want to be aware of who did this, why did they do this, and be held accountable as well.
So what were your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, the Democratic colleagues, saying in response to the testimony of the IG today?
Well, they were trying to say, well, it suffices. There was no wrongdoing. There's no criminal referral. That there were nothing, none of the accusations that the Republican side of the aisle are validated. You know, you didn't send any criminal referrals out. And the problem here, Tony, is that this is just one of at least two other pieces that will come, if not a fourth piece, in a different venue as you see this morph, because this was a very transitory application of this deep state over the justice system and over the government from taking on or trying to predispose Ms. Clinton as being the president that they wanted.
Right.
And then trying to defame President Trump, the one that the American people picked ultimately. So he's definitely part of this, and a number of others, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, as well as Mr. McCabe, and then two other FBI agents and an attorney at FBI we have our sights on. We think we know who they are, but they were unnamed intentionally in this report.
But enough to show that we've got a problem there.
Oh,
Paul Gosar, thank you so much for joining us and giving
us your hand on this. We got to make sure we get back to the equal application of justice and make people pay for the accountability of what they've done to the American people.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. All right, folks, don't go away. Coming up next, I was at the Department of Justice today meeting with the Attorney General, and we were discussing the immigration issue, and I invited him to come on the radio program and talk about it. So he's here next to talk with you. Don't go away. We're back with more after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right. Republicans are finally seeking legislative solutions to the immigration issue. Now, it's being driven to a galvanizing point because of what we've seen here recently. Now, this has actually been going on now for 4-5 years, where we have families coming across the border. Now, a number of factors have contributed to this, but we've seen about a 40% increase in the last 5 years in families being detained at the border. Now, part of that is because of the economic meltdown in Central America, countries that just political reasons, economic reasons, families are looking for better opportunities and they're coming to America. There's also what's been happening is a lax enforcement of our law going back to the Obama administration, and that word spread that, hey, if you come here, especially if you've got kids with you, you're going to get to basically a free pass. And so that's caused this to grow to a point that it is a crisis, and it is putting a lot of people at risk, especially kids, bringing them across the border through the desert, through these treacherous areas. The Trump administration, when they ran for office, when the president ran for office, said he was going to enforce the border, build a wall, force the immigration laws. So his administration is enforcing the law. And that has brought a focal, point of the media has been on what's been taking place on the border with the separation of these families. Now, it's, as we've talked about yesterday, not unlike what's happening domestically when a parent is arrested, but it shows our immigration system is broken. How do we fix it? Well, joining me now to give us a little more detail on this is the Attorney General himself, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former senator from Alabama, worked with him for a number of years. He was at his office today talking about this, and You know, I just said, Attorney General, why don't you just come on and explain to the American people what's happening and how you want to see this issue solved. So, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's good to be with you, and thank you for your visit and our other good friends and their thoughts and prayers. It was it meant a lot to me to be with you and to talk seriously about how we can make America better, create a system that's more responsive, that's more sound and consistent, so people know what the rules are, and the rules don't encourage people to do reckless things like bring children across dangerous borders and those kind of things. I think that must be our goal. We are a generous nation, as you well know, on immigration. We admit over 1 million a year to permanent legal residents with a pathway to citizenship. So, but we do think there's so many holes in it. It's like Swiss cheese, really. People are taking advantage of the system. People who are waiting their turn get frustrated, and those who are breaking line are getting ahead and placing children at risk. So we need legislative reform, and we need to do a better job about carrying out the laws we have.
Now, General Sessions, this is not Gladiator Radio. I don't beat up my guest. This is what I consider to having a conversation to educate people across the country with those that are actually enforcing the laws, those that are creating the laws, those that are setting policy for our country. Now, I've known you for a number of years, and first, I want to take an opportunity just to set the record straight on your – you've been portrayed as if you're anti-family, that somehow you take great pleasure in dividing families. And I'll have to say that's not consistent with the record that you built when you were in the Senate and when you were in the House in the Family Research Council. I mean, you've got 100% rating with us when it comes to the family. So what's this issue really about?
This issue is about establishing a lawful system of immigration that's fair, that's just, that serves the interests of the people of the United States of America and protects them and their legitimate interests, and at the same time allows for a certain number of people, and there have to be limits, to come into our country lawfully each year. What we've got now is a system that's not working. We do need legislation. That's been known for some time, and we have a situation in which it really places people at risk. I think we can do much better. President Trump is prepared to reach out with a policy that provides relief in significant degrees for the younger people that came, the so-called DACA students and kids, and then to provide an ending of the illegality through a wall and through better enforcement of our laws. If we put a package together like that, that should have the support of everyone, because I can't imagine many people that would openly say they want illegality to continue. I can't imagine that would be the policy. But it seems right now that anything you bring up as a matter of legal change that works and has an impact is complained of by certain activists in the country.
Well, General, as we were talking about earlier today, I think that I'm always looking for the silver lining. I'm the glass half full guy.
Yeah.
This has brought attention to the immigration issue that I've not seen in the 15 years that I've been here. Granted, none of us want to see families divided, even if it's just for a couple of weeks. We don't want to see that happen. And so maybe, as we talked about today, maybe this will bring all sides together to come up with what is really needed in our country, an overhaul of our immigration system. And I know you were talking to members today about that. And we're up against a break, and I'm going to ask you, General, if you can hang on and we can finish this, and I'll let you answer that question on the other side of the break. Can you hang on for me?
That'll be great, yes.
All right. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I've got him on hold. He's going to hang around. I hope you will as well, because he's going to answer this question. The administration is pursuing, they see the opportunity here, I see the opportunity, for comprehensive immigration reform that addresses all aspects, which you have to understand the unintended consequences of tweaking certain parts of this, which is what brought us to this point. All right, don't go away. We're coming back after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Senator Mitch McConnell announced just a couple hours ago that all GOP senators want to end family separation, and he is bringing a bill to the floor this week that will specifically address that issue. Also, the president was scheduled, I'm not sure if it's still going on, was going to be meeting with House members to talk immigration. Joining us now to talk about the issue of immigration, the Attorney General of the United States, General Jeff Sessions. Thank you for holding on over the break, General. I know you've had conversations today with members on Capitol Hill about addressing this situation. Are you hopeful that we will address this and other issues, or is it going to end up just addressing this one aspect and be kind of a patchwork address to the immigration problem?
We can't say for sure, but it's clear to me that patching the problem is not the right thing. We can, through the use of our laws and through our construction of a wall and better enforcement mechanisms, we can alter this illegal situation dramatically. We can create a system we can be proud of that serves our national interest and is fair to people around the globe who'd like to come to America in a lawful and legal way and be able to be permanent residents here. This needs to be done. It's been out there for a long time. And I think you're right. The opportunity is here. This is one of the things that's highlighted it, but there are others. And so the bill could pass on its own, and I think that could be could fix the problem. Properly drawn, it could really help us. Tony, but I really do just want to support what I think you were indicating, that we need a legislation that's being drafted in the House. There are two bills. The president said he would support either one of the bills. Chairman Goodlatte, I talked to him today. It has a fix in there for separation of families on both of the bills. And so we need to get this thing done. But the overall bill that the House is considering would be preferable, in my opinion. If I could just give a minute what's been happening. It's unlawful to enter the country outside of our port of entry in an unlawful way, breaking across the border, just a plain criminal act. And we've not prosecuted enough of those cases, so our goal is to prosecute all those cases. What's happened and they're promptly deported, usually time served, often within a week of when they're captured, and they're sent back home. But what we've seen in recent years is that more and more families were coming. And the reason we've discovered that happened is because we weren't prosecuting adults who brought children. And they were getting into the country. They were apprehended by our borders, often in remote, dangerous areas. And then they were released and asked to come back to court. And some came back to court, and some don't come back to court. They're basically in the country and almost too frequently never returned home. And this is a problem. It became known, and so in 2013, we had 14,000 like that. In 2017, last year, we had 75,000. It became well known that if you came with a child, an adult with a child, you weren't going to be deported or prosecuted. And this has created a massive loophole for us. And so we've got to try to close that loophole. One more thing. If a person or a family wants to enter the United States and claim asylum and apply for entry that way, if they go to one of our many ports of entry and make that claim, they haven't violated the law. The families will remain intact, and they'll get to have an asylum claim. The only reason they're being separated now is to have a prosecution of the adults, and certainly not the children. The children have to be held in a different place than the detention center that the adult will be in pending their adjudication. So we want to do this thing right. We spent $1 billion last year on trying to make sure children are well cared for. And, Tony, one more thing that I think most people don't understand, maybe 80% of the young people that have entered the country unlawfully in the last year are unaccompanied minors. These are children that came without any adult. And this is a highly dangerous thing. Both of these situations are dangerous for children. We need to create a lawful system. If people want to come here lawfully, they should come and apply and enter through our ports of entry.
And as you and I talked about today, there's no way to absolutely guarantee that when an adult has a child, that that's actually their child.
Right. And matter of fact, we know for a fact that many adults taking children along are not related to them. Could be smugglers, could be human traffickers. It's a very unhealthy and dangerous thing. It needs to end. We need to return to a good lawful system. That's what I believe the president wants. I know that's what he wants. And that's what I want to see Secretary Nielsen and Secretary of Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services is the agency that actually takes care of these children and provides them food and health care and education and language skills. That's what we spend $1 billion on a year. It's through our criminal justice system, but our health and human services system.
General, I hate to have to cut you off, but we're up against a break. I don't want to be accused of cutting.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity.
We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. It's Tony Perkins, your host. Glad you're with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right. As I mentioned at the top of the program, we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year. And you know what? The only way we can make this program happen is by having folks like you to come alongside us and support us. The only way this program goes out across the country is because of people like you who partner with us. And so right now, if you want to give us a call or you want to go online to TonyPerkins.com, any donation you make between now and the end of this fiscal year, end of this month, will be doubled. All right? So we have until midnight on June the 30th, but don't wait till then. You can actually call right now, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, and we'll take your call and give you an opportunity to partner with us. And again, that will be matched. Okay. 800-225-4008, or you can do it online, TonyPerkins.com. All right. As I as I mentioned at the top of the program, Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes, that, I'll just leave it at that. Southern Poverty Law Center has reached a settlement with the liberal Islamic reformer, Mejad Nawaz. Is that close, General?
Good.
All right. He's teaching me Arabic. And his organization for wrongly including them on its now defunct list of anti-Muslim extremists. That's interesting. A Muslim anti-Muslim extremist. SPLC says it will pay $3.375 million $300,075, million to settle the lawsuit, I'll get the numbers right, brought by the British anti-extremist group. With us now is the retired Lieutenant General of the Family Research Council, General Jerry Boykin. I'm not going to cut you off, General. Go ahead.
Yeah, those numbers were a little hard for you.
It
to
was.
Get out there,
well, right? I'm looking at all these different numbers here. It's $3.3 million. Pretty significant settlement.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, obviously. Look, Tony, this is really important because we have been saying here, and a lot of other conservative groups have been saying that this hate labeling is totally illegitimate, and there are no criteria for being labeled as a hate monger or a hate group. And now this lawsuit, first of all, it did not actually make it to the courts. It was settled out of court. It was originally they raised this issue in April, and in May they settled it 6 weeks later. And now what you have is you have Southern Poverty Law Center going on the net and apologizing to them and acknowledging that they were wrong in labeling them as a hate group to begin with. That is a significant admission, and now I hope that everybody, all the social media organizations, I hope that all entities that are using this data recognize that now Southern Poverty Law Center has admitted that they have erred in a big way being $3.4 million, on labeling people as hate groups.
That's a pretty significant settlement that, as you said, this didn't even go to court. This is just a settlement that they agreed to. What would be the motivation for them to agree to such a large settlement?
I think, Tony, very simply, they just want to get this behind them as quickly as possible. You know, it's the 24-hour news cycle. That said, I don't think this is going to go away in 24 hours. I think that this is so significant to conservative groups like us that this is going to get a lot of play. And I think that it is a way for us to say, look, what we've been saying about Southern Poverty Law Center and the illegitimacy of the way they label people and groups as hate mongers, that's been validated. And now I think that it's even they're coming out. When you see them come out in a video and acknowledge that they were wrong and apologize for doing that, they didn't do that because they wanted to. They did that because they had to agree to do that
right, in
order to solve this problem out of court. So I think it's significant. It's not going to go away overnight.
I mean, as I look at that, a couple of things come to mind. One is they didn't want this to go forward into court and into the media
right, because,
I mean, if you think on its face, it looks nonsensical. I mean,
right, a
Muslim, anti-Muslim extremist.
Well, what this guy is this organization started a few years ago, and he's primarily based in England, but there is a branch here in the United States.
But he's Islamic.
He is a Muslim, but he
right, is
a moderate Muslim who is now coming out saying that what the jihadists are doing, what the radical Islamists are doing, is counter to the teachings of Islam. And he's calling for other Muslims to rise up against extremism and to denounce it.
And they call him an anti-Muslim extremist.
Exactly right.
But he's a Muslim. So I think
it's
hard
to... Why is it? It's because their great partnership is with CARE.
So I think that's a part. It exposes
it exposes
them, and as you said, their lack of criteria and that they're politically motivated,
right, and
their labeling is determined by their politics. But also, I think there's another aspect. You know, once you go into the courts and you are a party of a suit like this, there's depositions and there's discoveries.
Mm-hmm. Discovery.
And, I mean, they're... You know, they got a lot of skeletons in their closets. I don't think they want anybody digging through.
Oh, yeah. Well, in April, you can bet. In April, when they were notified that there was an intention to sue them, that obviously raises the issue of discovery, as you just mentioned. And you better believe they must have been scrambling right then to figure out what incriminating and damaging evidence they may have had that could have been exposed during the discovery process. They did not want anybody digging into their archives because it would further blow the lid off of the scam that they've been running. Remember, they are a very, very wealthy organization with somewhere around $40 million. And they just announced just within the last few days that at least $92 million of that is in offshore accounts. Just think about that for a minute. This is Southern Poverty Law Center. They use the term poverty in their title. Hey, you got to be kidding me. I wish we had that kind of money.
Well, the only thing impoverished about them is their ethics and the way they operate.
Right.
Is this a chink in their armor? Is this something that's going to expose them further now that they've had someone successfully go after them for defamation? When you consider the 900-plus organizations that they have on their hate map, that mm-hmm. they label, is it possible we may see more of this?
Oh, I think you will. And this is not new, Tony. This is the first time we've had them actually have to pay out this kind of money and apologize both on the video as well as online. But I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more of this because there have been a number of people, reporters, journalists, and that type of thing, that have exposed the Southern Poverty Law Center already. They've exposed them as being a big money-making operation. And people in different elements of the media have been doing this for the last few years. And I think the shooting in our lobby was when this all began, when people began to really pay attention to who these people are. And now many of these journalists have come out against them. Even some of their own leftists have come out against them, and they've been dropped from the Department of Defense and Department of the Army. They've been dropped by a couple of charity navigator type things. And so I think that you're going to see more of this. Their reputation is going to continue to go down. They're going to come out swinging now, but I don't think they'll ever get back their credibility.
Well, they'll have $3.3 million less yeah. to swing with.
Yeah.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, my guest, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. Again, let me we still got folks standing by on the phones if you'd like to call and partner with us. Everything you give between now and the end of the month will be matched. That's right. It'll be doubled. You can double your giving. $10 becomes $20. 50 becomes 100. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. General, you mentioned about the left media, even the leftist media kind of turning on the Southern Poverty Law Center. New information out showing SPLC as anti-Semitic.
Oh, man. We actually did, because we're the family, quote, research council, and we do research. So we just have put together I think a very interesting document that took weeks, maybe even months, for some of our people to research it. But it talks about anti-Semitism in the college campuses. And that is something that Southern Poverty Law Center is totally ignoring. And I just got off the phone with a guy that runs a Jewish organization today. And he was saying that he is seeing exactly the same thing as that the Southern Poverty Law Center will ignore anti-Semitism in all sectors of our society, particularly on the college campuses. But then they will not label organizations like Antifa or Black Lives Matter, who advocates for the killing of police, but they will label people like us at the Family Research Council and ignore anti-Semitism on college campuses. There's no rationale behind any of this.
General, I want to switch gears with you really quick. I know we're almost out of time, but this is some news that's just coming out today. The Trump administration planning to withdraw from the United Nations Human Rights Council. Nikki Haley making that announcement. Is that a good thing? I mean, I know it invalidates in some way, but that also the United States is there to be kind of a watchdog on some of the nefarious things that they get involved in.
Tony, you're asking me. I think this is some of the best news I've heard in a long time. That just keep in mind that this is the Human Rights Council that has offered up this amendment 1618 or 1816, which says if you say anything disparaging about Islam, it is a violation. It is a hate speech. This is ridiculous. And Hillary Clinton signed up to it. It hasn't gone before the General Assembly for a vote yet. But these are also the people that come out and criticize Israel. Every time there is some kind of flare-up in Israel that is every time caused by the Palestinians, the people in Gaza or the people in the West Bank or I would say Samaria, the Human Rights Commission comes out and criticizes them. I think that it's time for us to get out of it. And I'm delighted to hear that because I see what they've been doing for years now.
How far might the Trump administration go when it comes to the United Nations?
Not as far as I'd like to see it go. But look, I think that this is, as a good first step, I think he's showing them just how serious he is about this stuff. I mean, again, they are the ones that criticize Israel at every opportunity they have.
You know, President Trump does not fit any mold.
He is very unconventional, and I think that he has broken every paradigm of politics, foreign policy, or national defense, or diplomacy that has ever been established.
But things are getting done.
That's the whole point. Look, let's go back to ISIS. Why did we run ISIS off the battlefield? Why do we have back over 90% of the territory they held when he took office on the 20th of January, 2017? It's because he is a winner. He talked about winning. He put our forces on a winning strategy and gave them the rules of engagement and the material that they needed to win. He thinks in terms of winning and losing. That is not what the previous administration did.
Makes your head spin. Things are happening so quickly in a positive sense. Things that we've been working for years happening because you have somebody who says they're going to do it and they actually go out and they do it, and that's not something that happens very often in Washington.
Not in this town. No, not in this town, and that's why. I think it's one of the reasons that he is so hated by the left, that there's so much vitriol associated with him, is because the guy actually came in making what they consider to be preposterous pledges, and now he's following through on every one of those pledges that he made. And they can't rationalize how this guy can do that much in this short of a period of time. And I think that, I don't think there's, quite frankly, I don't think if the election was held tomorrow, anybody in America could beat him, because Americans vote on peace and prosperity. He's given us both.
Final question, going back to the Human Rights Council, what effect will it have on the council with the United Nations or with the U.S. pulling out?
Oh, I think the credibility of that is
just sinks its credibility.
Yeah, just sinks it completely.
All right. General Jerry Boykin. As always, great to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
And, folks, it was great to have you as well. Let me encourage you, consider going to TonyPerkins.com or give us a call. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, and partner with us to make sure Washington Watch continues. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.